We can't do it, sir,
Ponder ventured.
Oh, said Ridcully. Volunteering for a bit of bookshelf tidying yourself, are you?
I mean, we really can't use magic to change him, sir. There's a huge problem in the way.
There are no problems, Mr. Stibbons. There are only opportunities.
Yes, sir, and the opportunity here is to find out the librarian's name.
There was a buzz of agreement from the other wizards.
The lad's right, said the lecturer in recent rooms. Can't magic a wizard without knowing his name. Basic rule.
Well, we call him the librarian, said Ridcully. Everyone calls him the librarian. Won't that do?
That's just a job description, sir.
Ridcully looked at his wizards.
One of us must know his name, surely? Good grief, I should hope we at least know our colleagues' names. Isn't that so?
He looked at the dean, hesitated, and then said, Dean?
He's been an ape for quite a while, Arch-Chancellor, said the dean. Most of his original colleagues have passed on, gone to the great big dinner in the sky. We were going through one of those periods of droit de mortis.
Broadly speaking, the acceleration of a wizard through the ranks of wizardry by killing off more senior wizards. It is a practice currently in abeyance, since a few enthusiastic attempts to remove Mustrum Ridcully resulted in one wizard being unable to hear properly for 2 weeks. Ridcully felt that there was indeed room at the top, and he was occupying all of it.
Yes, but he's got to be in the records somewhere.
The wizards thought about the great cliffs of stacked paper that constituted the university's records.
The archivist has never found him, said the lecturer in recent rooms. Who's the archivist?
The librarian, Arch-Chancellor.
Then at least he ought to be in the yearbook for the year he graduated.
It's a very funny thing, said the dean, but a freak accident appears to have happened to every single copy of the yearbook for that year.
Ridcully noted his wooden expression.
Would it be an accident like a particular page being torn out, leaving only a lingering bananary aroma?
Lucky guess, Arch-Chancellor.
Ridcully scratched his chin.
A pattern emerges, he said.
You see, he's always been dead set against anyone finding out his name, said the senior wrangler. He's afraid we'll try to turn him back into a human.
He looked meaningfully at the dean, who put on an offended expression.
Some people have been going around saying that an ape as librarian is unsuitable. I merely express the view that it is against the traditions of the university, the dean began.
Which consist largely of niggling, big dinners, and shouting damn fool things about keys in the middle of the night, said Ridcully. So I don't think we...
The expressions on the faces of the other wizards made him turn around. The librarian had entered the hall. He walked very slowly because of the amount of clothing he'd put on. The sheer volume of coats and sweaters meant that his arms, instead of being used as extra feet, were sticking out very nearly horizontally on either side of his body. But the most horrifying aspect of the shuffling apparition was the red woolly hat. It was jolly. It had a bobble on it. It had been knitted by Mrs. Whitlow, who was technically an extremely good needlewoman, but if she had a fault, it lay in failing to take account of the precise dimensions of the intended recipient. Several wizards had on occasion been presented with one of her creations, which often assumed they had three ankles, or a neck 2 meters across. Most of the things were surreptitiously given away to charitable institutions. You can say this about Ankh Morpork. No matter how misshapen a garment, there will always be someone, somewhere, it would fit. Mrs. Whitlow's mistake here was the assumption that the librarian, for whom she had considerable respect, would like a red bobble hat with side flaps that tied under his chin. Given that this would technically require that they be tied under his groin, he'd opted to let them flap loose. He turned a sad face towards the wizards as he stopped outside the library door.